As we look at Jonah today, I want us to consider a question. And it's a simple one. It's one simple question. What is God calling you to do? It's a really simple question, right? What is God calling you to do? And I just want you to take a second right now. And I want you to think about this question. Kind of let it permeate in your mind. Let it percolate. Let it bubble a little bit. Think about it. Okay, and if you're like me, you couldn't think of anything that quick. That's okay. Here are some examples that I came up with as I sat and thought about this question. Okay, these are things that either God said for me to do in my own life, currently or in the past. Okay? Giving money to God, right? Tithing. That was a struggle for me for a long time. I finally gave in because my wife takes care of the money now. How about this one? Join a small group. That's a simple one, right? Here's some harder ones. Quit a relationship. Here's one that might be even harder. Start a relationship. Quit a bad habit. Start a good habit. Here's one that God is currently working on me for, so I'll just be completely honest with you this morning. Get over yourself. That's what God's asking me to do. You're not that cool. Get over it. So this morning, as we go, one question. What is God asking you to do? Because I guarantee you there's something. You just got to think about it. Okay, so we're gonna jump right in, and we're going to read in Jonah chapter 3. So if you want to open a Bible, you can. Otherwise, it's going to be on the screen. I'm actually going to read from the screen this morning. Okay? So Jonah 3, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Now, this is one of those verses for me in the Bible that is really short, but just really packs a punch, right? Like, this is one of those Jesus wept verses, right? This is one of those, and God saw that it was good verses, because it's really short, but it means so much. And this verse is awesome because it lets us know that God gives second chances. And for me, that is such a huge relief. That makes me feel better about my life because right now, as I stand up here, I am in a judgment of Jonah because I think Jonah's an idiot. I think he is one of the stupidest people in the Bible. He's like right up there with Samson because he had one thing and he couldn't do it. Right? Samson's one thing was don't cut your hair. He couldn't do it. Jonah's one thing was go preach to Nineveh. He couldn't do it. And so for me, I'm like, if God opened up the skies and his voice came down and said to me, go tell these people that if they don't repent, I'm going to destroy them. I'd be like, sure, I can handle that. But he couldn't. And so for me, I'm like, if this dummy gets a second chance, then I'm going to do all right. And see, the thing for me about this point is, it's really easy to be like, well, if somebody like Jonah can get a second chance, I've never refused the audible voice of God, so surely I get a second chance. And you do get a second chance, but not for that reason. Because in so many ways, we all have refused the voice of God in our own lives. And see, this is what I want us to get from this idea that God gives second chances. See, God doesn't care where you've been. He cares where you're going. And people have probably said that to you before, but I want to take that step further and say, God doesn't care where you've been, and he doesn't care where you are right now. He cares where you're going to be later today. He cares where you're going to be later this week. He cares where you're going to be later in life. Because he's got you on a path of purpose that leads to your death, to be perfectly honest. And so he doesn't even care where your feet are right this second. He cares where your feet are going. And so rather than be upset with Jonah and think that Jonah's the idiot, look at my own heart and say, you know what? God's giving me a second chance. Let's continue reading. Verse 2 says this. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. So it says that God speaks a second time, and then we hear the message, right? And for me at this point, when I read Jonah 3:2, I'm thinking this. This is a just get it done situation, right? This is one of those situations where somebody gives you something to do, a higher up than you is like, just do this, and you don't have a choice anymore. Like, well, I guess I better do this. Right? It's kind of like when you're a kid and you get asked to take out the trash. This was a huge thing for me when I was a kid, right? Because as soon as your butt hit the couch to watch cartoons, Richie! Right? It's like they have some kind of like impulse as soon as you get comfortable that the mom is going to call, right? Your butt hits you, Richie! And then you pretend like you don't hear. Right? You still sit on the couch. You turn up the TV a little bit so it's extra loud. And you can hear her. She's still yelling. Richie! She's just yelling louder. And the whole time you can hear, but you're just ignoring her. You're just ignoring her, right? And then eventually she comes in the room, and if you grew up in a house like mine, slaps you upside the head and pulls you by the ear and drags you in the kitchen and says, do you see that the trash is overflowing? Take this outside right now. And then you say, all right, fine, I'll take out the trash. It's this big inconvenience that you got to walk the 30 feet to the trash can with the trash, right? It's not enough that mom's cleaned the whole house and is making dinner. Like, you have to take out the trash when you're trying to watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? And so it's this huge deal. And that's kind of like where Jonah's at, right? But I think it's a little bit different, right? Because think about the question that I asked. The question I asked at the beginning was, what is God calling you to do? And see, for me, verse 2 is really about more than completing a simple task. This is about opportunity. And so I would say to you this morning, don't waste your opportunity. You know, life is full of opportunities. Opportunities to do things that are good for you, opportunities to do things that are bad for you. Right? And so then your life becomes about opportunities and choices, opportunities and choices. And every opportunity and choice leads to another opportunity and choice. And I would bet that there are tons of people, if not everybody in this room this morning, who at one point in their life has wasted an opportunity or squandered an opportunity. And there are moments in our lives when we say, nah, I'm good. I'm just going to stay here. Thanks for the invite, though. I appreciate it. Nah, I'm okay right now. I don't really need to go starting something new in life right now. I'm okay right now. I feel like things are kind of going the right direction for me. I'm okay right now. And you know, to use an analogy that makes sense to me, we prefer to sit on the couch like Homer Simpson rather than be a go-getter like Lisa Simpson. Right? And when we watch that show, like if you've ever seen The Simpsons, you're like, man, I envy Homer. He gets to sit around all day. His only job is to push one button and he doesn't even have to do it well. Right? He owns a house. He has a car. He's got a wife. He's got 3 kids. He's got a dog. Right? He's got it made because he doesn't do anything and yet he has all this stuff. But then you have Lisa, who, the character who gets made fun of all the time, who's a go-getter. She goes after it. She seeks out opportunities for herself. And see, Jonah tried the whole thanks but no thanks thing. Right? God's like, go to Nineveh. Nah, I'm good. That's okay. You can handle Nineveh some other way. I'm going to get on this boat and go the other direction. And where did he end up? He ended up in the belly of a fish for 3 days. And I don't think it was like in Pinocchio, where there's like songs being sung and a fairy shows up and is like, I'll grant your wish. Like, what do you want? I have a feeling it's pretty messed up being inside of a fish for 3 days. I have a feeling it was pretty messed up to sit in the dark inside of a fish and having to listen to God be like, what are you doing? And you having to sit there and be like, dude, I messed up. I'm in the belly of a fish. And so we have this thanks but no thanks mentality when we should have this mentality of everything is an opportunity. Everything that happens in your life is an opportunity. And this one is hard for me. Because when bad stuff happens, I'm like, that's not an opportunity. But it is. Like, what's that an opportunity for? When bad stuff happens, what's that an opportunity for? To give it up to God? To be like, you're enough, God. That's it. Like, I can't fix this. And we've all been there. If you're like me, you're there every single day. Everything is an opportunity. Don't waste your opportunity. Then we continue. Verse 3 says this. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. Okay, so I teach sixth grade. In sixth grade, in history, we teach ancient civilizations. So Nineveh, I know about it, right? I've got some background on it. I've taught about it before. Here's the thing about Nineveh and about the time period. Okay, so at this time, everybody is migrating towards this cultural system of one big city where everybody lives. And you have like the agriculture outside of the city, but most of the people are living inside of the city. And in the very middle of that city, there's something called a ziggurat, which is like a pyramid, but it's really like a temple and a marketplace, and everything happens there. Every single day, everybody goes to the ziggurat, you trade or barter or sell whatever you need, you buy whatever you need, you get the news for the day, right? You find out if the priests are gonna sacrifice any more animals, if they're gonna sacrifice more children, like that's how Nineveh was. You find out all that stuff, so you know what's going on, right? We don't know what that's like, because we just turn on the TV, but it's kind of like turning on the news. Going to the ziggurat is like turning on the news. You're going to find out everything that's going on. And so Jonah arrives at the city, and there are 12 gates at this city, and these are what the gates look like. I pulled up a picture so we could look. Okay, so this is actually real today. You could go see this right now. Like, not right now, but if you got on a plane and went to the Middle East, you could see this right now. So this is still standing. This is one gate out of 12. And it took 3 days to pretty much like walk a big circle inside the city around these 12 gates. And so back then, you know, the average person probably walked a little bit faster than we do. Like, the average person now walks 3 miles an hour, which is really slow. But back then, you know, they're probably walking 4 or 5 miles per hour. They would take eight hours would be a day's journey for them. So if you go 5 miles an hour, 8 hours, you're walking about 40 miles in a day. That's pretty much to downtown, like the center of downtown, and back to the church in one day. That's like some legit walking. So not only did Jonah show up at the city now after he's been regurgitated by the fish, but now he's got to enter this menacing gate where he knows these like people who hate Jews live. And then he has to walk probably like 25 or 30 miles to get to the ziggurat. So for me, it's just kind of like, seriously? This was not a stroll in the park. Because when I first started reading Jonah, I was like, all he had to do was show up and tell people that if you don't repent, God's going to destroy you. I'm like, that's not that hard. But then you look at this gate, and you think about how far he had to walk into the middle of the city to get to the place he needed to go. And I'm like, that's not easy. I'll give him a little bit of grace. That's not really that easy. And for me, when I think about the initial question, like, what is God asking you to do? I would say that for a lot of us, when we think really hard about it, that one thing that God's really asking us to do is not something that's easy either. Because we could probably think of some easy things that God is asking us to do, like, oh, I need to read my Bible. Like, oh, that's easy. I can get up 5 minutes early and read my Bible. Okay, but is that really what God's asking you to do right now? Is that really the thing that God's like putting on your heart, that's pressing on you every day? This is what I need you to do? Because for me, it's never that simple. When I feel like God is pushing on my heart, it's never that easy. Right? And so I'm going to say this right now, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. This is not an opportunity to shout out, okay? God doesn't want it to be easy. God asks us to obey beyond our capabilities. Now, for some of you, if you think really logically like I do, you're like, that's unreasonable. That's illogical. If it's not easy, how does God expect me to do it? How in the world am I supposed to do this one thing that he's really asking me to do if I'm not even capable of it? That seems absurd to me. And I think it's fair to go there because we're finite, right? We can only see what's in front of us. So it's okay to go there. It's okay to be like, it's not fair that God would ask me to do something that I'm not capable of doing. But here's my rebuttal to that. God doesn't expect you to do it. He doesn't. Why would a God who's infinitely logical and infinitely reasonable ask you to do something unreasonable or illogical? He wouldn't, because he doesn't expect you to do it. He knows you can't. The Bible says that God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows every hair on our head. Why would he expect you to do something that you can't do? He doesn't. He expects that you're going to give up to him and be like, I can't do this. I need some help here. So that he can step in and he can provide a way and he can give you the strength and he can give you the desire. He can fill you with his spirit so that way you can do this thing that he's asking you to do. He knows that you're incapable. He knows it better than you do. But he asks you to do it because he wants us to obey beyond our capabilities, because he wants us to have faith. And to be perfectly honest, I think it's clear that Jonah went beyond his capabilities. And we see that in verse 4. Jonah 3:4, it says this. And notice, this word right here, entered, is bold. I'm going to get to it in a minute. But remember the word entered. Remember it. Okay. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. This must have seemed ridiculous. Like, if you can imagine Jonah standing up like on a stage similar to what I'm standing on right now, right? And there's millions of people And he just starts yelling this at them. That's ridiculous to me. It seems ridiculous to me because I wouldn't do that because I'd be afraid that they were going to laugh at me. Why would I jump up on a stage and holler at people that in 40 days they're going to be destroyed when I'm one person and they don't know me? Why would I think they're going to believe me? And you know what? On top of that, Jonah hated these people because they hated his people group. And it's like starting to get clear to me right now. No wonder Jonah didn't want to do this. No wonder he thought it was a better option to get on a boat and go the opposite way. This seems like a losing situation. Jonah didn't want to warn them. He didn't feel like they deserved to be warned. And see, this for me is the hardest part about obedience. Obedience requires letting go. And that's difficult because I'm a control freak. That's difficult because I think I'm in charge of my life. Let me go back to this word entered. I asked you to remember the word entered. When we think of entering, we think of it being like this average word, right? You enter things all the time. You enter your car, right? You enter the door. You enter your password. These are all things that you do on a daily basis. It's not that big of a deal. Everyone knows how to enter, right? But in reality, what this word refers to in the original language is to let go or cut loose. So when Jonah entered the gates, he let go of himself. He cut loose of his own fear. He cut loose of his own hate. He cut loose of his own desires. And he completely obeyed. When he walked through that massive gate and walked to that ziggurat, he said, "Not me, but you, God." He's like, "I know these people suck, God, and that I don't think that they deserve this, but you do, so I'm going to do it. God, this isn't what I want for my life. This isn't who I want to be right now, but you're asking me to do it, so I'm going to let go of what I want and just trust you." And when we think about what he's calling us to do, I start to realize the reason why I push that thing back and I push that thing back and I push that thing back is because in order to do it, I have to let go. I have to trust. Right after Becky and I got married, I was 21 when we got married. Becky was 22. Right after we got married, we got in a car and we drove to Missouri. Drove to Missouri for me to go to college, pretty much. And I had no job. I had no money. I didn't know anybody there. Why would I do this? Well, because I felt like God was like, "You need to do this. You need to go there. You need to do this." And he made it clear to me that these were the steps I needed to take in my life. And so when I got in the car and I drove away, I realized I'm letting go of so much right now. But God, I'm just going to trust you. Let's see what happens. And you know what? We only spent 10 months in Missouri. I ended up getting there, and they didn't accept any of my previous credits, and they were like telling me I was a freshman, even though I'd already done 3 years of school. Like, all this craziness had happened. But the 10 months that I was there strengthened my relationship to my wife. It showed me that I could let go of things and that God was going to take care of me. It showed me that God was going to be able to accomplish any problems that ever faced me in life. But man, was it scary to let go. And man, is it scary to let go right now. You know, like maybe God is asking you to just give your life to him. That's scary because you're like, now I have to do what he says and not what I say. Maybe God is asking you to join a small group and to try and find some accountability in your life. That's really scary. I'm in a small group right now that is so honest, it makes me nervous. But it's good because every Saturday when I go to group, I come home a better person. I come home feeling equipped to overcome the things that plague me. Maybe God is asking you to end a relationship. That's really scary. Whether you realize it or not, there's safety nets built into these relationships that we have, even if they're not the best for us. So what is God calling you to do? And also, what do you have to let go of to make that happen? So Jonah walks through this gate and he just lets it go. Fine, God, I let it go. I'm not going to hold on to this anymore. I'm just going to do what you asked me to do. And what happens next is completely bizarre. But it is so awesome. Jonah let go and he delivered the message. And this is the outcome. We're going to read verses 5-9. It says this: the people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least. That's crazy. From the greatest to the least, all the way from the very top, the king, to the lowliest slave, believed God's message. And they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. And when the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne, took off his royal robes, he dressed himself in burlap, and he sat on a heap of ashes. It's just bizarre, right? When does this happen? Then the king and his nobles sent his decree throughout the city: no one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. This like makes me scratch my head a little bit. Because a couple things. Number one, these people don't deserve to be forgiven, right? Like, this group of people in this city are like performing human sacrifices. They're like, there's all kinds of like rape happening to the people groups that are surrounding them. They just like go and pillage and rape. There's like just all this really awful stuff happening in the city. And I'm like, why do they deserve to be forgiven? Why should it be that easy for them that they could just be like, God, forgive us? And the other thing that it makes me think is this: Jonah didn't deserve to experience this awesome thing. Like, he ran from God. When God was like, hey, go deliver the message, he ran away. And I'm like, so why does he get to go and deliver the message now after he ran away and he gets to see this awesome thing happen? And to me, as a person, as a human, it doesn't make any sense. But I'm grateful this morning that God is not a human, because he knows this is what we need. And God sent Jonah with a simple message, and it caused unthinkable change because the message of God changes lives. So I ask you the question again: what is God calling you to do? Not that peripheral stuff, not the stuff that you could accomplish with your eyes closed, that deep thing. What is God calling you to do? What person is God putting on your heart right now? What relationship? What habit? And I'm going to tell you right now that whatever it is that God is putting on your heart, there's a message that goes along with that. And it's going to be a simple message, but it's going to be a life-changing message. And it's going to be a message that is going to have the power to help you overcome any and every obstacle you will ever face. It's going to be a simple message that will give you the ability to do whatever it is God is asking you to do. Is God's message to you to give your life to him? Because his son died for you? Is God trying to show you, is his message that he's bigger and better than anything you can attain yourself? Is God's message that you can trust him? Is God's message that he really is a loving father? See, whatever God is calling you to do, there's a really simple message that goes right along with that. And that message can come from anywhere. This message that Jonah delivered came out of left field. This little Jewish dude walks into this city and is like, you better repent, God's going to destroy you. And they're like, whoa, okay, we got this. Let's everybody wear burlap, nobody eat anything, and maybe God will forgive us. The message can come from anywhere. It can come from your grandma. My grandma delivered many messages to me in my life. It can come from the person standing up here speaking on Sunday morning, although in my experience growing up, it never did. No offense, Dad. But I just couldn't pay attention in this setting. Honestly, like, this message could come from the mouth of a donkey. It happened, right? This message could come from someone who's not even a Christian. This message can come from someone that you don't know. It could come from anywhere, but it's going to change your life if you let it, because it's going to give you the power, the strength, the knowledge, the understanding to be able to do what God is asking you to do. Let's read this final verse together. Verse 10 says this: when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. You know, for me, like at this point, thinking about my own life, thinking about what God is calling me to do as a person, reading this verse, it's really clear. God loves to forgive. And for me, that's a beautiful thought. God loves to forgive. And you know what? It's a really good thing he does, because I need it. Just like Nineveh needed it, just like Jonah needed it, I need it. Because you know what? I am Nineveh. And you know what? I am Jonah. And God wants to forgive us for all the junk in our lives, all the times that we run away from him. He wants to forgive us for all the poor decisions we know we shouldn't make. He wants to forgive us for being disobedient to him. He wants to forgive us for being stupid and selfish. He wants to forgive us for loving ourselves more than we love other people. He wants to forgive us for judging the people around us. He wants to forgive us for those things because he has something for you to do. And in order for you to accomplish that, you need to feel like you're good with him. And honestly, for me, the reason why he wants to forgive is because he loves us more than he loves being right. And that's huge for me. Because we live in a culture where people think, because of all kind of people who are in the spotlight, that God loves to be right more than he loves to love. And that Christians love to be right more than they love to love. But for me, it's really clear because of how easily in verse 10, God just said, you're forgiven. That God loves to forgive, and he loves to love more than he loves to be right. And he loves us and forgiveness more than he loves to see us pay for our evil. And he loves us enough to send his son to die for us. Because he loves to forgive. We're his children. He wants to forgive us so badly. And I just want us to close today, coming full circle, with this one simple question. What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do? And I hope that we all kind of just like have something that's like right here for us right now. That maybe we're not too sure if we're going to really go down this path or not. We're not too sure if now is the right time for us, if we're ready or not, but it's there. That's what I've been praying for this week, is that it would just be there. Whether you take a step in that direction or not, that it would just be there. And I'm gonna ask us to do something again this morning, just like I did at the beginning, that we don't usually do here. And so I'm gonna ask that right now, that everyone just take a minute and just bow your head and just get in your own personal space right now. And you know, if you're on prayer team this morning, if you can come down front, that would be great. I would appreciate it. Because sometimes we all need to be forced to look inward. Sometimes we all need to be forced to look at our own heart. I know that I do. And so right now, this is a perfect space. This is a safe space for us to have to look inward. And I just want you to think about this question. What is God calling you to do? God has a message just for you. He has a purpose just for you. He has something just for you. And I just want to take a few minutes right now and just be quiet. And in a few minutes, I'll close this out in prayer, and then you guys are good to go. Heavenly Father, God, I'm thankful that we can be here today. I'm thankful that, God, we live in a country where we can have a space to worship, where people have freedom to just worship you and to just be part of your family in a way that a lot of people just don't ever experience. And God, I just want to say I'm thankful for that, because I know it's you that's created that space for us. And God, I want to thank you that you've created a safe place for us at Venice Church. I'm thankful that I feel like I can be myself here. I'm thankful that I feel like nobody's going to judge me here. I'm thankful that I feel like it's okay that I'm not perfect here. And God, that is something that doesn't exist enough in churches in our country. And I am so thankful that that's here. And Heavenly Father, God, I just pray now for everybody in here, for myself. God, what is that one thing you want us to do? Just show it to us. Show it to me. God, we know that you give us so many chances. God, we know that you're always forgiving of us when we mess up. And God, we know that you have a message for us that's going to give us the strength and power and ability that we need to go beyond our capabilities. And so, Father, I pray that as we go today, that you would just continue to press on our heart with your Holy Spirit. Continue to guide us and continue to lead us. Help us to let go of ourselves and to embrace you and to embrace you, what you're calling us to. God, I thank you so much for all the ways that you bless us. I thank you for your son who died for us. God, just be with us this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys. Have a good Sunday.